friends, our guests, so happy you've chosen to be with us. Pray that this service be a blessing to you. Amen. I wanted or planned to preach a different direction today, but my mind goes back to a different message. So if you'll allow me to turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. It's a very familiar story to many of you. But I'd like to take perhaps a little different view of this today. Luke chapter 15. We start with verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Most of the time, in my life at least, I have heard this parable called the parable of the prodigal son. The fact of the matter is, the son really was not prodigal. The son was merely wasteful. The son was actually selfish. The true prodigal in this story is the father. The focus of this parable really is not the son. The focus of this parable is the father. The parable is not really to tell us about the son, but the purpose of the parable is to tell us about the father. So I would like to preach today about the prodigal father. The prodigal father. The word prodigal means lavish. It means generous. And I would say today that those terms apply much more to the father than they do the son. It was the father that was lavish in this parable. It was the father that was generous in this parable. So our observations today will be not so much about the sons, but our observation is going to be about the father. The first thing I think that is revealed in these words is that the father was approachable. The son felt comfortable coming into the presence of the father. He did not come reluctantly, nor did he come fearfully. But he knew that when he came for an audience with the father, that the father would receive him. I want you to know today that your heavenly father is approachable, and you can come into his presence. And you don't have to come fear or intimidation, but you can come as you're welcome, because you are his son and he is your father. And he does love you. And first of all, your father is approachable. The second thing I note about the father is that he is very generous. The Bible says that he divided to them his living. His living. Everything that was there belonged to him. It did not belong to the sons. It was not theirs. And I want to remind us again today that this is still God's world. There are things that we say, this is mine, but it really is his. And the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and fullness thereof. Amen. Everything really belongs to him, because he and he alone is the creator. Everything is his. It will revert to him. It always goes back to him. The things that he allows us to have, and the thing that he divides to us, and the things that he allows to come our way, they're all his. Have you made anything new? Have you created anything in your life? And the answer, of course, is no. Maybe you've made some things. Maybe you've constructed some things. But if you made something or constructed something, it was made out of the things that he provided. Amen. If you built a house, it was made out of materials that God provided. Amen. If you made some building or some article of furniture or perhaps even an automobile, it was made out of things that God has already provided. He simply divides to us His own wealth and His own bounty. It all belongs to the Lord. So the Father then is very generous. We must touch a little bit on the fact that the younger son, the Bible said, gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted, about say wasted, his substance with riotous living. And he spent all. Amen. Now let me just say, the Father did not stop him. He could have, but he did not. God will not. God is not a dictator. God is not a tyrant. He will not dictate to you. He will not force you. He will not make you. God gives you and I a will, and He allows us to exercise that will. God allows us to make decisions, right or wrong. He allows us to make decisions for ourselves because God is generous. God does not want forced worship. God does not want forced worship. If God had made you to simply sing like a bird and you had no choice in the matter, it would not be about will and it would not be about worship. It would just be another created thing doing what it was created to do. But when you make up your own mind and out of your sovereign will, you decide, I am going to take my worship and I am going to give that to God because He deserves my worship and He deserves my praise. And I choose sovereignly and of my own will that I will serve God. I have a choice. I can do what I want to do. I can spend my time the way I want to spend my time. I can spend my money the way I want to spend my money. I can use my talents the way I choose to use my talents. And I choose to use my talents for God. I choose to give my time to God. I choose to use my finances in the will of God. It is my sovereign will that I decide to do it that way or not to do it that way. And so the son made a wrong choice. The father did not dictate to him what he had to do. He allowed him to make his own decision. But when that boy hit the bottom, his mind went back to the faithfulness of his father. He knew that old dad, and he understood things about him. He may not have liked his rules. He didn't want to continue to live in his house. He saw, as the song said this morning, he saw the glitter, he thought, in the sunshine in a distant land that was appealing to him. But when he got there, he found out that everything that glitters really is not gold, and it was not the promise that he thought that it was going to be. And the Bible said that when he came to himself, he got to thinking about his father's house. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I want to say something to you today that, hey, there's always the Father's house. The privilege of having been raised in the church is you know where to go when the going gets tough and you know that you are headed the wrong direction. You know the right direction. And when you're serving the wrong one, you know the right one and you know how to get back there. I want you to know that when he made up his mind to come home, he knew where to go. And he knew what it was going to be like when he got there. I want to say something to the church today. We better not get into the mood of change. I know that there's a wind of
change sweeping the world today. And there are churches that are changing and saying, we don't need this anymore. And we don't need that anymore. Until some churches do no longer resemble the Father's house. And they no longer represent the Father. Amen. I want it to be that when somebody steps in the United Pentecostal Church in Athens, Texas, they'll know that they're in the Father's house, and they'll feel the love of the Father. They'll feel the generosity of the Father. They'll know that He's approachable, and they can get to Him here. Amen. I want it to look like the Father's house. I want it to feel like the Father's house. I want it to sound like the Father's house.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, the Bible says the son made his way back home. And it's so very beautiful. Verse number 20 says, he rose and came to his father. But while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He'd always been looking. Throughout the day, his eyes would turn and look down that road. There was an expectation in his heart. There was a hope that had never gone away. And every time he looked, he expected to see his son walking down that road. Until one day he looked and his heart began to leap and his pulse increased. And he said, there he comes. Amen. Hey, there's power in prayer, Mama. There's power in prayer, Daddy. Pray on. And he looked down that road and he, see, it's different now. It's not the same carefree lad that couldn't wait to get away from the father's house. There's a heaviness in his step. There's reluctance in his gait. But nonetheless, this time, at least, he's headed in the right direction. I want you, you may not be everything you want to be today. Maybe you hadn't accomplished all you want to accomplish in your life, but if you're headed the right direction, that's what matters. Even the last time he saw that boy, he was going the wrong way, but now he's coming the right way. And he watches every staggering step until the boy gets close, and then the Bible says that he had, everybody say he had compassion. Compassion is a welling wave that swells up on the inside of an individual and overtakes them. And compassion forced him outside the realm of comfort. And the Bible said that he began to run. We live in a little different age today. For a number of years, most of my life, I remember probably in my teen years, jogging became the rage. Now we see joggers of all ages. But that's more of a more recent phenomenon. I never saw my dad run. Amen. And but the Bible says that he ran to him. In other words, he couldn't wait for the boy to get there. He ran to him. This is an autobiography of God. I've heard people say, I'm so far from God. I want to ask you a question. How can you be far from God when God is everywhere? Let me tell you how close God is. He's just one prayer away. That's how close God is to you. Just one prayer away. If you're going the wrong way, all you've got to do is turn around and
and you'll find him. He is not far from any of us, the Bible said. And he is not. Amen. And so the father runs to him. It says he fell on his neck and he kissed him. I want you to notice something. The son hasn't even opened his mouth yet. I've heard people say, I don't know what to say to God. It's not so important what you say as the direction that you're going. It's the direction that you're going that matters most to God. When you turn from waywardness and turn to Him, that speaks volumes to God. When He sees your face and the intentions of your heart, that speaks volumes to God. God doesn't need to hear your words as much as He needs to observe your actions. And so the son, he saw it in him. He recognized it in him. And the Bible says that he kissed him and hugged him before he ever even opened his mouth. Finally, the son begins to speak and he says to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And so he has his little speech and he gets it out. And I know the father's glad that he said that. Mm-hmm. Amen. But he already had his mind up what he was going to do. I want you to look at this here. Look what the father says. Verse number 22. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Everybody say the best robe. I want you to know something today. God's only got one kind of clothes in His closet, and that's the best kind that there is. God only has one kind of Holy Ghost. God does not have several kinds of Holy Ghost. God does not have a Walmart Holy Ghost and a Macy's Holy Ghost. Amen. God's got one kind of Holy Ghost, and that's the only kind there is. It's holy. I heard somebody say one time they didn't get the same Holy Ghost I got. If they got the Holy Ghost, they did, because there is only one kind of Holy Ghost. Amen. God doesn't have one kind of Holy Ghost for good people and one kind of Holy Ghost for sinner people. God's got one kind of Holy Ghost. Amen. And everybody gets the good stuff. I said, everybody gets the good stuff. Hey, man, I'm telling you, God never gives you anything inferior. You might give God something inferior, but He doesn't give you anything inferior. If you ever got the Holy Ghost, you got the only kind of Holy Ghost God's got. It's the best robe. Amen. And then look to the next thing that he said. He said, I want you to put the ring on his hand. You know what that ring was? That was identification. That said, he's my son. He belongs to me. He's part of this family. Amen. I want you to know something about God, Brother Fry. God didn't put a whole lot of rules and stipulations on him. God didn't put him on probation. I understand that. I understand that sometimes, as far as leadership's concerned, especially and a platform's concerned, because you represent the Church of Jesus Christ, and there has to be a certain standard of living and a certain standard. I know that. That's when somebody gets up here, you're representing the church, and I understand we've got to have some platform rules. I understand that today. I understand that there needs to be a proving time. I understand that today. But I want you to understand today that as far as God's concerned, when you get ready to serve God, He doesn't let you come down two pews and say, now you sit there for a month or so, and then when you get a little better, then you come up to the next pew. Amen. And finally you can work your way into my presence. God doesn't do it that way. He accepts you with everything that He's got, and
you immediately into His presence, and He gives you His best.
Amen. I'm talking about your Heavenly Father here today. He's prodigal. Amen. He said, I put a ring on His hand. I want everybody to know that He's my son. Hey, you know what He could do with that ring? He could go into town, and if he wanted to buy something, he didn't have to have any money. He could just take that ring, and it had an emblem on it, and he could take a seal of wax and melt it and put it on there, and he could press that ring into it, and then he could say, now that's mine. Amen. I don't have any money, but my daddy will pay for it. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you something today. When the Lord gives you the Holy Ghost, He gives you some privilege. Amen. You can walk up to healing and say, I need healing, and I claim it in Jesus' name. Whenever you need salvation, you can claim it in Jesus' name. When you need forgiveness, you can claim it in Jesus' name. Whatever it is that you need, He gives you an authority by His name that you can accept or you can receive the things that you need in your life. I'm telling you, your father's a prodigal father. Amen. And then he said, I want you to, everybody say, put shoes on his feet. You know what that means? He said, you're not a slave, you're a son. The son came back saying, make me a servant. He said, uh-uh. I'm not going to make you a servant, I'm going to make you a son. Did you know God doesn't have any grandchildren? He thinks all of them are grand. Amen. God doesn't have any grandchildren. I've heard people say, I'm fourth generation Pentecost. Great, you've got a great heritage. But really, you're first generation Pentecost. Amen. Because nobody's born with a heritage. Everybody starts at the same place. Amen. Now, I'm not disparaging inheritance here. It's a great thing to have that. Amen. I'm a mighty blessed person that I grew up in the Pentecostal church my whole life. This is all I know. Amen. I've never had a beer in my refrigerator. I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. I've never had a cigarette on my counter. Amen. And I'm not saying that to put anybody down, but I'm just telling you today, that's my heritage. And I thank God for that. Amen. I thank God for that. Amen. I've been a blessed man my whole life. Amen. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege. And I'm not saying that to put anybody down. I'm not telling you I'm better than you are, because I'm not. I'm just saying that I have a beautiful heritage in my life. And it's a beautiful thing. Amen. I thank God for that. I thank God that there was not profanity in my home. We didn't tell dirty jokes in my house without getting our mouth washed out with soap. Amen. I'm just telling you, I had a good heritage. And you can have a good heritage. You say, well, Brother Grissom, my house wasn't like that. Oh, but it can be. Oh, but it can be. You can start today and you can say, from now on, my house is going to be different. My house is not going to be like my father's house. My house is going to be a different place. My children are going to know a different life, and I'm going to pass on a different heritage to my children. They're not going to hear cursing. They're going to hear prayer. I'm not taking them to the bar. I'm taking them to the altar. Amen. I'm saying today it can be different for you and for your family. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you'll make your way to the Father's house today, it can all start all over again. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he said, he's not just a slave. He's my son. I got to hurry here. I know I'm competing with dinner. Verse 23, Father said, bring hither the fatted calf. Everybody say the fatted calf. No tofu for this guy. Amen. No lean beef for this guy. Amen. You know what you call a cow with two legs? Lean beef. I just had to throw that in. You know what you call a cow with no legs? Ground beef. This is great stuff. You need this. And you know what you call a cow? Is that a calf? Decaffeinated. So, now just to pass that on. This is just so you know. Amen. That's something you needed here today. Somebody needed to laugh in this place. Amen. You might not have laughed all week, but you laughed this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Praise God. But I didn't lose my point. Amen. He said, kill the fatted calf. Amen. One that's dripping with fat. Hey, one's got some flavor to it. One that's got some calories. One that's got some cholesterol. Kill the fatted calf. A fatted calf is one that was set aside for a purpose and a very special occasion. Hey, amen. He was looking for son to come home. And he said, now he's here. We've been saving this up for a special occasion. And it doesn't get any more special than this. Hey, amen. I'm telling you this morning, there's something special in this service. Hey, amen. It doesn't get any better than this. Hey, amen. Hey, amen. And the Bible said, he said, you kill it. And he said, let's eat. Everybody say eat. I know we're getting ready to do that. Amen. And be merry. Amen. And you know what church is supposed to be? Church is supposed to be a happy place. No wonder people don't like to go to church in some churches. They're dead. Amen. You can't move. You can't say anything. You can't do anything. You can't wiggle. Hey, amen. It's like a funeral parlor. Hey, amen. That's why people don't like to go to some churches. Hey, amen. But I want to go to a church where I can be happy. I want to go to a church where I can open my mouth and sing. I want to go somewhere I can clap my hands if I get happy. I want to go somewhere I can stand on my feet and I can shout praises to the Lord. I want to go someplace that if I feel like dancing in the Holy Ghost, I can get up and just do a jig every now and then. I want to go to a church that's a happy place. That's what it's intended to be. Praise God. He said, let's be merry. Let's get happy. God's house is supposed to be a happy place. Amen. I'm not through, but I'm going to quit. Let's stand together. I'm about halfway there. Because there's another son we need to talk about, but I don't have time to talk about him right now. We might get to him tonight. Amen. I'm just letting you know today that your father's a prodigal God. Amen. He's a generous God. He's a lavish God. There's an outpouring of generosity. And no matter how much God gives you, He still has an endless supply. He has just as much left over as what He's already given. It doesn't run out. Let me give you an illustration. Did you know that, as far as I know, God has never made any new water? The water that you and I are drinking today is the same water that Adam and Eve drank when He started this thing. Same water. It's been recycled a whole bunch of times. God has this great recycling system. Amen. But you see, He just replenishes over and over and over. And over and over again. Amen. Praise the Lord. God was into recycling before we ever even gave it a thought. Amen. He's got a wonderful system and it works. But God's blessings are bountiful. And God is prodigal. He's not stingy. Amen. I don't know that I've done justice today to my subject. But I hope that I've somehow shed a little bit of light on God. God's not a reluctant God. You don't have to twist His arm. You don't have to convince Him. He already loves you. He already has compassion. All you need to do is show Him your intention by the direction you're coming. If you're coming to Him, that's what He wants to see. And that's what He needs to know. God hates to see your back, but He loves to see your face. If He can just see you come in the right direction. You may not be doing the very best. You may have your difficulties, your ups and your downs, but He sees that you're coming the right direction. And if you fall, when you get up, you don't turn back, but you get up and you keep coming the same direction. That's what matters most to God. He wants to see your face. Amen. Let me invite somebody here today. I know we're going to get ready to eat, but it'll still be there. There'll be something left when we get there. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Bacon so very much doing this for us, cooking for Father's Day. But I would be remiss if I didn't open this altar for a few moments this morning. Somebody needs to come and renew your relationship with your Father. He's been talking to you. He's been talking to you. He's been in your mind. You hadn't been able to get it out of your mind. You know what I'm talking about. He's been talking to you. I think you ought to come this morning to this altar and just let Him know. I know, Father, I hadn't done as good as I ought to be doing. I'm sorry. But I want you to know that I love you. And I want to serve you. And I'm still headed the right direction. I'm not turning back. I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping. I'm not going back, God. I just want you to know, in spite of it all, I've been having some hard times, but I'm coming the right way. How about it today? Would you, somebody want to respond and come to the Lord and just tell Him that you love Him? Happy Father's Day. I love you today, Jesus. I love you, my Heavenly Father.